This is Smart Tech, episode 1706. You can take it with you, syncing your life across your devices. Welcome, fellow tech travelers. This is your host, Chuck Minear. I don't know why I started the show that way. I guess I was watching old episodes of Lost in Space yesterday, so I guess that makes me feel very old, nostalgic, and especially for the people who don't know what Lost in Space is, definitely old. How the world has changed from the old science fiction shows of the 60s and 70s, or even before that, to today, where a lot of the science fiction has become reality. And one of the things that has become reality is being able to take a tablet, a flat, fairly flat, thin device, and pretty much put all the information of your life on it and run your life and your business from it. Amazing. Just think back a few years ago. Just think how difficult it was. I remember when I first got a Palm Pilot. And if you don't know what a Palm Pilot is, that really shows how old I am. But a Palm Pilot was really the first personal information manager that was at least widely used. It was a small device, a lot thicker than an iPhone or a smartphone. They had a small screen, a stylus, and some of them had keyboards on the bottom. Some of them didn't. And you could basically keep your calendar and your contacts on this device. Later on, you could actually send emails somewhat from it. But the hardest thing about a Palm Pilot was syncing the Palm Pilot. There was software to let you do that, and you had your contact list in your Mac or your PC. And then PC worked a lot better with this natively, Windows, but you would put your information in there and you would sync it and you would hope that your information would sync correctly. And what happened typically was you would get like double and triple entries and things wouldn't sync right. And syncing was a very difficult task. And on the Mac that I owned, I actually had to buy extra software that would sync my Palm Pilot and my Mac correctly. And I think it was like more than 50 bucks. I mean, the software itself was not cheap. It was around $100 if I recall correctly. So it wasn't cheap just to sync. But once I got something that actually worked in the sync world, I was pretty stoked because it would take, you know, all your time just going through your contacts when you sync to make sure you didn't have, you know, three phone numbers for your mom. Well, syncing has become a lot easier, but it's also become a lot more necessary as more and more of our lives are put on our devices. So here's my life, and your life might be similar. I have my main device that I use the most is my iPhone 6. And if I had to choose a device that I spent the most time on, probably it's my iPhone. So I'm taking notes on my iPhone. I'm downloading podcasts on my iPhone. I'm putting dates and times in my iPhone appointments. Checking social media on my iPhone. Texting and communicating with all kinds of people on my iPhone. So it's my main source of communication. It's the way that I keep in contact with people. Now, I also own an iPad. And the iPad I basically use for business, it's an iPad Pro. And I got the iPad Pro because I really like the Apple Pencil. I had used an iPad originally. What I really wanted to do when iPads first came out, I wanted to be able to go into meetings and take notes. And then all my notes to sync to the cloud. But I quickly found that typing notes, even though I'm pretty quick at typing, I found that typing notes was distracting, and it was a little cumbersome because before the iPad, you take a whole laptop in or whatever, and this big thing sitting in between you and the other person. And so I got myself an iPad and a stylus back in the old days when you would buy these styluses, when you would buy third-party styluses, and I started to try to take notes with that. And the writing was very thick, and it was very hard to be fine enough for it to really do the job. And there was really no good software for doing this anyway, so I might as well just take notes. And what I ended up doing was I would take notes. I would get a copy, and this is what I still do today a lot of the times. If I'm in a meeting with an agenda, I write my notes on the agenda. So then I go back into my office and I put it into my Fujitsu scanner and I scan it. It puts it into Evernote, which OCRs it and files it for me. So that's kind of my workflow right now. But I still like the idea of having to or being able to skip that, because what happens is somehow between the meeting that I'm at and my scanner, the paper gets lost. The paper goes in a pile somewhere. It didn't get scanned. It didn't get filed correctly. So I take my, instead, I have started to take my iPad into a meeting, and I'll get an agenda on paper usually, trying to get them to send me an electronic agenda. But if they don't, they give me a piece of paper. I snap a photo of the paper. And I always am uncomfortable doing that. People look at me like, what are you doing? But there's a couple really good scanning programs now for the iPad that I just snap that photo. It automatically crops and straightens it. So I don't have to do any of that stuff manually. And then I proceed to take my notes right on the agenda or next to the agenda. And I can type them in. I can write them in. But I really like this. It's just getting used to doing that. It's making sure that the unit and the Apple Pencil are charged. Now, the other way around that, of course, is to use another device. The new Windows tablets work great for this. They also come with a stylus, and you can take notes and do those kind of things on it. So you're and having the workflow go between Mac, iOS, Windows, whatever, because I'll tell you what, for tablet devices, iPad, iOS is still the best. It works the best. It's the most stable. Android for tablets, as far as having something that's flexible and usable, is still not quite there. It's there for phones. I mean, you either like the Android OS or the Apple OS. But for tablets, I would still say that iOS has it, unless you're using a tablet Windows machine where you're able to take the notes on right on that. So it's up to you. And I really like the form factor for the new Windows machines, because the keyboard is built right in, and it's all kind of there in one place. And by the way, I've gotten a hold of one of those at work, and I'm using it to try to evaluate it. You know, do I really like Windows or do I like Mac? I'm going to give both a good chance. I'm very, very familiar with Mac because I've been using it for many years, actually, and evolved with it. And I used Windows professionally, but never really liked it. But I'm really liking this, the Windows 10. It's very Mac-like. Windows people don't like me saying that, but when you get to the point where you're very icon-based, your user interface is very graphics-oriented, you're becoming more Mac-like. And so Microsoft is still trying to bridge that gap between their older users, more mature, more experienced users, and newer users who really like to touch things or tactile. But I digress. So after I sync my notes, then I can go to my desktop unit, which in my case is an iMac, and I can do my work on a large screen, which I like to do. I still like a desktop machine. I still like a large screen. And so I like to be able to take things back and forth. And so what I wanted to talk to you about is how you can sync your life much easier than you used to and give you a few tips, tricks that you can use. Of course, the father of all syncing mechanisms is Dropbox. Dropbox basically wasn't the first one to do this, but they were the first one to do it well, to do it accurately, and to do it securely, although they have had a couple data breaches in the past. I think those are way in the past and now, and it's probably the most used, or at least the one that people rely on. If you have to rely on a syncing service, you rely on Dropbox. Other ones have fallen by the wayside. And Dropbox basically is a certain amount of data space in the cloud. In fact, all of them work, all of the ones I'm going to mention, work off of the same premise that Dropbox made famous and made it work. So you get a certain amount of space in the cloud. In Dropbox's case, you get 2 gigabytes for free. And then you can install the Dropbox app on all of your devices. So you can install it on your desktops, you can install it on your laptops, you can install it on your devices, your iOS and your Android devices. And basically what it is a file folder in the cloud. So if you are on your desktop and you type a paper that you want to be able to access on your iPad, you just drag it over, drop it into your Dropbox folder that sits on your computer, and it instantly and automatically is synced between the two. And the most recently edited version is the one that you can see online. So it's a really neat device. It's a really neat service. It works really well. It's very, very reliable. And it also, at least on your computer, keeps a local copy, a local cache copy on your computer. So let's say that Dropbox dropped off the face of the earth, or it stopped working for a while, or your internet service, which is more likely, stopped working for a while. If you have a desktop unit, or you've set your portable device to this, all of your files have a physical copy on your desktop computer. So you're not just relying on the cloud. If you're on an iOS or an Android device, you have to tell it that you want to download a certain file. It doesn't keep a local copy because you have limited memory. So you want to set it that way. If you have one thing to pick, and you actually don't because there's a couple of these that are free. If you have one to pick and you have one to rely on, when I have something that I have to rely on, like I have a presentation or something that I just want to keep a backup copy of, I want to make sure I can get to it, I put it in my Dropbox because Dropbox is the one that's going to be there. And by the way, I'll put a link to all of these on our website, www.smarttech.tv, it'll be in the show notes. And so you can go directly to these services if you'd like. The next one that you can try, it's also free, is Google Drive. The nice thing about Google is that it's part of a whole suite of services. So it probably has the best email, all-around email browser, email system of any of the other email services. I think Microsoft comes close to that, but it's really good. It's got a lot of other services that link into Google. Google has made it easy for these third-party services to write add-ons to let you do things within the Google and Gmail system. And what's nice is that you've got things like what they're calling G Suite now, which was Google Office, or they have a version of Word, Excel, PowerPoint. They have their own version of that. They're not those programs, but they do read each other pretty well, lets you do editing online and other things. But what I really like about Google Drive is it works pretty much the same as Dropbox. It puts a Google Drive icon, a folder, a point of contact on your computer. and you drag things to this folder and it copies it to the cloud, and you drag them out of the folder and it erases them from the cloud. Some people have issues with Google because Google because Google makes no qualms of being a company that makes its money by data mining. It goes through all of the information that comes through their servers, all of it, and it indexes it, and it makes statistical analysis. Now, Google will argue that they don't have access to your actual files, that there's still privacy. I tend to believe them in that, that it's, you know, they have this service because all of the services like this. Remember, if you put anything into the cloud, it's only as strong, the security of your data is only as strong as your password and your encryption. And if somebody on the other end of Google or Dropbox or whoever wants to get into your data, they can. One of the exceptions to this might be Evernote, which I'll talk about in a minute, but Evernote encrypts the data, and according to them, their people cannot see that data at all. I think Apple works the same way too. Apple devices are as secure as they are because Apple encrypts the data on your phone and then syncs it to the cloud. Other services will sync it to the cloud and then encrypt it on their server. Well, that gives them more access to encryption keys, things like that. And it would be easier for them to crack. Now, luckily, I'm not an international espionage person or anything, so I really don't have a whole lot to hide. But I make sure that if I've got something that is mission critical that I, for my eyes only, I don't put it in the cloud. I keep a physical copy or I keep a local copy on a machine that is not hooked to the internet, just as an aside. But Google Drive gives you so much free space, and they let you do the same thing as Dropbox. The nice thing about it is it integrates with their other services. So their spreadsheet, database, presentation program, which is really weak. The other neat thing about Google is that when you create something in their world, let's say you write a document in their word processing program, you save it to your Google Drive, and it doesn't count against your total storage. So anything that you create within Google itself doesn't count against the storage on your drive. If you put a Word document in there, that counts against your total, the total amount of space you have. So that's another one. And by the way, I use all of these. The other nice thing is that you can use Dropbox and Google Drive on your computer at the same time, and you can run things back and forth if you want to. For different reasons, it also gives you quite a bit of space for free if you're going between the two. The only thing is you have to remember which one's which, right? Where things are. So the other nice thing about Google Drive is its calendar. When you're using Google, you're getting all the Google features, and I really like Google Calendar. It's it syncs well. People seem to really like it, and you can share it with a lot of other services like you can their other services. So since Google is the author of Android, if you're an Android user, it's already installed in your Android devices, and you really want to consider it. It works very well with Android, probably the best with Android devices. The other thing with Google is its photo app. Google Photos gives you free storage of all of your photos, whether you're using Android. I have iOS, and I do it on iOS as a backup. All of my photos get synced to my Google Drive. So if something happens to my iOS device, it's actually easier and less cumbersome for me to look up old pictures using my Google Photos than it is to use my iOS iCloud device that's built in. I have less trouble of knowing what synced, what didn't, what got purged. It's a good backup. If you're a Microsoft user, mostly, you might want to consider syncing up with Office 365 and Microsoft OneDrive. OneDrive comes installed as part of Windows Phone. So the five people in the world who use a Windows Phone, that was a sarcastic remark, get that integrated really well. But if you do have a Windows Phone, you might want to consider OneDrive as your main source. If you're using Windows, it comes integrated with Windows. 5 gigabytes is free. It's quite a bit of storage, but you can use it on other devices. So I have on my Mac that I use, I have a OneDrive drive icon. I have a Google Drive drive icon, and I also have a Dropbox drive icon. All of them sit there, but I mostly use my Dropbox. If you want to pay $2 a month, you can get 50 gigabytes of storage, which is quite a bit more. And if you want to go up to $70 a month, you'll actually come with Office 365. So you'll have Word, Excel, PowerPoint. And if you go for $100 a year, then $99.99, you get 5 terabytes of storage, 365. You can hook it to 5 PCs or Macs and 5 tablets and phones. With a $70 a year, you can only hook it to 1 PC or 1 Mac. I would suggest that if you're not really a big Word, Excel, PowerPoint user, that you stick with the Google products. They're free. I mean, you can pay for their premium services, but you don't really have to. And they're free, and you can convert back and forth, and they're a lot simpler to use. But you have to decide that, whether the Office Suite is really integrated into your workflow or not. For iOS Mac users, there's always iCloud. Now, iCloud gives you 5 gigabytes for free also. So, you know, it's the same as Microsoft. It's more than Dropbox. It seems to be pretty good. Apple can do anything except sync things correctly. And they've had problems for the last few years of making sure calendars and data and everything was syncing correctly. I think they've gotten past that. I have not had any problems with iCloud in the last year or year and a half. And it seems like they've got this down. But you think some organization like Apple could get cloud services working well. But wasn't their thing. You know, they were a device and an OS manufacturer. So you get 5 gigabytes for free, but their 50 gigabyte package is only 99 cents a month. And I actually subscribe to that because it lets me back up my devices. It lets me sync things across iCloud and gives me plenty of space. And for $2.99 a month, you can get 200 gigabytes of storage. $10 a month is a terabyte, and $20 a month is 2 terabytes. So you can store a lot of things online with Apple, and the prices are pretty reasonable, especially if you stay down to the lower levels. 50 gigabytes for 99 cents a month is pretty much a no-brainer for me. Now, with the Apple devices, if you're in the Apple ecosystem, then I really recommend using iCloud. iCloud lets you back up directly to them. I use the Notes app on my phone, and I can dictate things to it. It syncs across my devices. iTunes syncs, mail, calendar, contacts, reminders. My passwords can sync across a secure keychain. It uses, iCloud uses or enables the Find My iPhone, Find My iPad, Find My Mac. So you can find if anything's lost or stolen. I'm going to step out on a limb here and say it is the most secure and the most private system of any of the systems. If you want to store something and you're like a terrorist, remember that terrorist who had their iPhone and it couldn't be cracked. It finally got cracked by sending it to a company in Israel that was able to crack the phone, but Apple has doubled down on their security after that. When they find out where that hole is, they close it. And Apple has something called two-factor authentication. So if I want to get into my device, I can set it up where, let's say I'm on my computer and I type in my password, it sends a code to my to another device I own. So if I have an iPhone, code will be sent to my iPhone, and my desktop will ask me, what is that code? And I have to put it in. Now, it's a pain in the neck. If you don't have your phone with you, or you don't have your other device with you, using two-factor authentication can be a hassle. When you're trying to sync third-party programs, you have to go into iCloud and you have to obtain a special password for that device. But I'll tell you what, it's really secure. So if you want to double down on your security and privacy, iCloud is definitely the way to go. And it also has some apps available online. It uses a program called Pages, which is Apple's version of Word, which I'll tell you what, out of all of the programs I prefer, I really like Pages because it's simple, elegant, and it has the features that I want. But if it doesn't have the features you want, you're not going to like it. It has a program called Numbers, which is their version of Excel. I like Numbers for simple things, but when it gets to complicated things, no way. Excel is far better for that. And the same with Word. Word is much better at very complex documents. And it has something called Keynote. And Keynote is Apple's PowerPoint alternative. And I'll tell you what, if you ever watched any of Steve Jobs' presentations or the current Apple presentations, they use Keynote. It is the best presentation software there is, bar none. PowerPoint is much more powerful. It'll do more things. There are more templates, blah, blah, blah. But I'll tell you what, as far as a sleek interface, as far as ease of use and ease of setup and logical flow, Microsoft has never been good at logical flow in their software products until Windows 10 is getting there. It's Keynote. But the thing that I like the best out of all of this, because I'm an Apple user, is that iCloud will sync your desktop and your documents folder across devices. Love it. So I need to edit this podcast later. I'm going to save the podcast on the desktop of my computer. When I open my laptop and I stick my earbuds in, I can edit this podcast right on my laptop. It's awesome. Now, I can do the same thing with Dropbox, whatever, but having the desktops sync across devices for me has been a game changer, because I'm a desktop user. I tend to save everything that I'm working on goes on my desktop. Anything that's active is on my desktop. Anything that is not active is somewhere else, or it's cluttering up my desktop because I forget to file it. But let's take that out of the picture. Let's make it sound like I really know what I'm doing. So I will put what I'm working on my desktop. It's right there when I turn on my computer. And I love the fact that when I open up my laptop, the same work that I was working on my desktop is automatically on my laptop. If I forget to save something into Dropbox, then I don't have access to it. And it's a separate folder somewhere else, whereas my desktop is what I'm used to working on. So I love the fact that it's syncing my desktop up, and I use that every day. Now, there are a lot of other ways to do this. I've done other shows on Evernote. Evernote's a note-taking app. It lets you sync across devices. It does OCR. It's a really neat program. It also has a free version you can try out. But if you're just talking about dropping files and retrieving files or doing small backups, all of these work great. Dropbox, Google Drive, OneDrive, and iCloud. If you want to know more information about any of these, go to our website, www.smarttech.tv. You can add that website to your favorites and go right to it to read our show notes, to access past episodes, to find out anything you need to know about technology. We also have a link there to Amazon, and if you buy your Amazon goodies through that link, it helps support Smart Tech. It doesn't cost you any more, but we appreciate it. If you see the Amazon link on our page, please click through that to buy your Amazon goodies. We're also on social media. You can click on our Facebook link to like our Facebook page. Most of our comments come through our Facebook page, but you can also comment right on the website. We also have a Twitter account that you can follow. So if you're into social media, any of those, you can just go to our website, click on the large icons on the right to follow us in general, or the smaller icons under the title of each episode will let you like and comment on that particular episode. But we would really appreciate if you like our page, because that allows you to get up to the minute smart tech news. So until next time, I'm going to be busy in the background syncing my life. This is Chuck Minear, your host, and this is Smart Tech, SmartTech.tv. And I will see you next time, hoping that this episode has made you just a little bit smarter about tech.